Rock 107 WIRX and WIRX.com. Welcome back to our continued conversation on human trafficking. I believe this is podcast number 7, along with the Michigan Abolitionist Project, opening up that conversation, that forum about human trafficking. Again, a topic that we don't talk enough about in our inner circles. You know, maybe we see a little bit about it in the news, or maybe there's something on TV. It kind of, but not the real in-depth conversation, which is what we are trying to do here today and with the previous podcast, which, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you have seen the other podcast. But if not, make sure you check out WIRX.com. Also, get hooked up with the Michigan Abolitionist Project, MAP-MI.org. To learn more and, again, continue this conversation. Joining me this morning is Heather and Kathy. Good morning, or day, whatever time you're listening.
Morning.
Good morning. This could be 30 years in the future for all we know. And hopefully, if that's the case, this will be a moot point because human trafficking has been taken care of at that point. But until that day comes, we need to have this conversation. So let's get right into it. We've talked about human trafficking and what it is, who the traffickers are, who the victims are, and the potential indicators that trafficking is happening. Now, for the next 4 episodes, we're going to talk about, I think, the big question, the solution after hearing all of this. What can we do? It may seem like a daunting task. It may seem like something that we can't take on by ourselves, but every little bit helps. Every single person listening, working on this can make a difference. So let's first look at the past of what has been done, and then we'll dive into how all of us can continue to be a part of that and the new ideas moving forward. So, Heather, why don't you kick things off and remind us about what has been done nationally when it comes to human trafficking?
Yeah, so we've mentioned a few times on the podcast about that Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which was put into place in just 2000. Mm-hmm. So again, it's human trafficking has only been recognized nationally as a crime for about just a little over 2 decades, which when we think about it is such a short time compared to many of other crimes that we think about. And and we know that human trafficking has been around for hundreds and maybe and thousands of years. But in that short amount of time, we also have learned a ton about the pieces that are involved in human trafficking since that 2000 Act came out. And some of those things would be just the need for understanding why victims don't self-report, why they might be hesitant to testify in court, like we talked about in our podcast on victims and survivors, recognizing that vulnerability of minors and that laws need to be different for them, which in many states has happened, but in some states there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in supporting survivors who are minors, needing stricter and more comprehensive laws against traffickers and perpetrators, understanding the complexities of labor trafficking, which we mentioned in, I think, our second podcast there, and services that are offered to those who are foreign nationals. And then in more recent years, like we talked about on our internet safety one, understanding the need for internet laws and more safeguards to be in place for forced pornography. But thankfully, there have been people in government, lobbyists, other advocates who are passionate about human trafficking, and they've helped to amend these laws and add to that 2000 Trafficking Victims Protection Act. So that that act was reauthorized in 2003, 2005, 2008, and in 2013. So we can see there are people that really are, they were seeing that, okay, this 2000 law wasn't enough, and let's reauthorize, and they added more. And then in 2015, actually, there was a Trafficking Victims, the Victims of Trafficking Act passed, which was another really great, more comprehensive act to support survivors. So all of these have served to create more accountability from our national government side with their involvement domestically and internationally. They've created offices and task forces specifically for human trafficking. One thing that I think has been really awesome to see is how much we're seeing survivor leaders and survivors' voices being listened to. I think that kind of seems like a no-brainer. Like, we need to hear from the people who are who have been trafficked and those that are, they should be leading us in what it looks like to support survivors. And that's really become a much bigger thing as the years have gone on, and listening to survivors and hearing their experiences and having them lead this movement. Mm-hmm. Also, there's now an annual trafficking in persons report that goes out. We've seen resources strengthened for NGOs and services that provide better care for victims and survivors. I've got a big long list of all the things that these laws accomplished, but they have accomplished a ton. One of them specifically focused on supply chain of goods, so labor trafficking that we see in the products that we buy from the store and the supply chain of goods. And then also now the Attorney General creates and maintains a national strategy to combat human trafficking. And all of this has been done in these 20 years. So it's really great to see that there are laws, and that from our national government side, we've seen a ton of things happen. There's also still a ton of work to be done. If you want to learn more, if this is interesting to you and you want to learn more about that, and there's a kind of like a layman's terms website that the government has that I'll link it, you can link in the podcast. But I thought it was really helpful just to understand what's been going on over the last 20 years.
That was the first time I heard you guys talk about it only being in 2000. I was like, that can't be right. There's no way that was the first law. And unfortunately, we all know the wheels of government churn very slowly, but it seems like as this is progressing and more information is getting out there and more mm-hmm. survivors are coming forward, and we're seeing it's starting to pick up, and that's good. And obviously people like you and Kathy and Emily doing this, and the people, you know, hitting the streets and trying to take care of all this. And you did bring up something interesting in all that information there, talking about these survivors coming out. I think that's also very important too, to kind of reiterate what you're saying, because I think a lot of people would be surprised hearing from these survivors who they actually are. Maybe like, wow, how could that happen to someone like that? They were so well to do. Or it's an interesting take, because as I've learned more from you guys, it's amazing how close to home it really can hit. And speaking of close home, that actually kind of brings me out of my next thing. For Kathy, could you share us what's been done here in Michigan, kind of the history of the anti-trafficking movement here in our home state?
Yeah, sure. In Michigan, Heather mentioned that the national law was 2000. Well, we had our first human trafficking law in 2006, which really wasn't that long ago. And then those laws were strengthened in 2011. And then in 2013, the governor really wanted to know the extent of human trafficking in Michigan. You know, you're hearing a lot about it. You're hearing that it's an issue. And he is saying, like, is this really happening in my state? So he formed a temporary commission that had two goals. They were to assess the threat of human trafficking poses to our Michigan residents, and then develop some policy recommendations to promote its exposure and, of course, to prevent it. So the commission went and interviewed a broad array of stakeholders, including service providers, medical personnel, law enforcement. They visited homeless shelters, talked to youth workers, judicial workers. And the answer to that question, if human trafficking is a threat, was a resounding yes. Yes, it's a threat in Michigan. And the commission reports that what they uncovered, they thought, was really just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So that commission then made recommendations for some laws and practices that would improve our response. And then in 2014, a package of 20 bills passed into law, really in record time. And these improvements were really due largely to the fact that everyday citizens got involved in the movement, and people like you and me contacting their representatives to urge them to address the issue. And that's something that we've, you know, said our organization is focused on, is helping everyday people get involved and addressing this. And you don't really need to know a lot about law and policy in order to call your representative or contact your prosecutor's office and just say, this issue is important to me and I care about it. It's happening to people that we all care about. And so that's what people did. I did that. I called my representative and he actually met with me at a coffee shop and we talked about it. And so that package was really important because it included a very important law, safe harbor law, which states that a minor found engaged in prostitution is not a criminal, but they're a victim of human trafficking. Now, that was hard for me to believe that until this point, in 2015, actually, when the law became implemented, that we were considering minors who were trapped in prostitution criminals and hauling them off to detention and charging them. So this law was a very significant turn in the way we culturally view prostitution. So now law enforcement were to refer children for appropriate treatment within the Department of Human Services rather than charging them as criminals. Also included in that package were many updates that continued to strengthen our laws and our response to trafficking, including human trafficking training for medical professionals and social workers, and then the establishment of a standing commission now in Michigan. So the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission has been actively working since 2015. I've served multiple terms on the commission myself, and I'm still active today. The commission produces annual reports and on their progress, and these can be found on the Attorney General website. So people can go out to the website, download the report, and see the progress of the commission.
So what we get from that is that our state here in the Mitt, we're at least working on it. We're taking those active steps to combat human trafficking, whether it's rewriting the laws, learning different, setting up different committees, everything like that. Michigan itself is started to say, hey, this is a problem. It affects us. It affects everyone here in this state and nationally, globally. Let's do something about it. That's where we're at in this state.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a big one of the things that is not really been the focus that we hope to start to focus on, at least from our organization perspective, is the demand that drives exploitation in the first place. So rather than, you know, only focusing on locking up bad people, because we're never going to solve human trafficking by just improving laws and locking up bad people, we really need a cultural shift to understand what's causing exploitation to exist in our state and in our local communities. And so that's really needs to be the focus and what it is something that everyday people can do.
I think that's wonderful information there. And you said that key word that has come up so many times in our conversations, demand. And it's that demand that once we nip that in the bud, I mean, with the big picture of things, there's a lot to do, but it's that demand. And once we can cut off that demand, then I think other pieces can fall into place from what I've gathered on this. So very interesting stuff and a lot of great things, at least in the works, as we continue to learn more about this. Again, only 20 years in, we still got a ways to go, but we're making the right steps. Now, there has been active anti-trafficking efforts. Been a while, though, since any more laws have passed. Like you mentioned, 2014 was the last one. Heather, what is currently happening, if anything, right now?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I just want to say real quick too, Kathy, thank you for joining us today. Kathy is our director at MAP, and she has played a really important and big role in human trafficking, anti-human trafficking efforts in Michigan. And I'm so grateful to have her as my boss and so thankful that you're joining us today. And you just know so much about, you know the history. You've been involved in a lot of the history of anti-trafficking efforts in Michigan. So thanks for being with us and sharing. but in response to your question, though, we actually so the commission introduced a package of bills about a year ago that would greatly help survivors of trafficking and aid those that are executing the law to have more resources and knowledge available to them. That would take into account everything that we have learned over these past 7 years. So if anyone listening knows anybody who could have some sway in getting these laws passed, or just like Kathy mentioned, calling your representatives and letting them know that you care about human trafficking and that there is a package of bills for them to vote on, and that you would like them to vote positively to protect and support survivors and keep the anti-trafficking movement going forward. Specific for this package and some of the things that we're talking about, House Bills 4091 and 4093, 4091 and 4093, we'll link them in the podcast too, but those will help with expunging past criminal records that survivors incur while being trafficked. And this is just a really big issue. I think we've seen it in the media quite a bit too. And it can be a really big barrier for survivors as it impacts their ability to get employment, housing, and many other things that are key to helping them thrive after being trafficked. And so this would be examples. This would be like if a person were being trafficked and they maybe were forced to sell drugs or to transport drugs, and in that process incurred other criminal charges, or if maybe in their escape trying to get away they stole a car, or things. Yeah, there are many different, I don't know, Kathy, if you have anything that you would want to add to that, but there are many other criminal charges that survivors and victims have incurred while being trafficked. And so these laws would help them to be able to get relief from those charges that they got while they were being trafficked.
Okay. Kathy, is there anything you'd like to add on that to go off of that?
Well, sometimes victims are forced to steal or, you know, just commit crimes. Makes sense, right? Trafficker will force a victim to commit the crime rather than themselves. And so then they have all these, you know, misdemeanors and felonies on their record, which really greatly hinders their ability to get employment and to move on, you know. So these bills are very important.
Yeah. Well, and you think, oh, so it might, to most of us not involved in it, it may seem very simple, like, oh, well, you're not being trafficked anymore. You're fine, right? You don't think about the fallout along with all of that that comes with it. Not just, you know, what it can do mentally, physically, but all the ramifications that can come along with that. It's not just like, oh, you're free to go. You're okay. Everything's fine. It's
absolutely. A lot of times their credit is ruined because things are put in their name. They can't get a bank account. They lose their deposit on a apartment. I mean, it hurts a person in every way they can be hurt.
Yeah.
So spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially.
Yep. So having these in place and continuing to improve on these to help survivors, obviously, is what we need. Now, I do want to kind of bunny hop over to something. Hearing some news, and Kathy, if you want to cover this, about legalizing prostitution. And in this conversation we've had and prostitution being brought up, can you share a bit more on that?
Yeah, so there's a movement in our country, actually even globally, to legalize or fully decriminalize the sex trade, which basically are two of the same things. And we strongly believe that this is really problematic because we know that sex trafficking, as we've discussed, results in great harm to victims. In fact, victims report that some of the worst harms done to them is at the hands of the sex buyers. So we believe that those who cause such harm should be held accountable, and that would not happen if we legalize or fully decriminalize the sex trade. So our hope is that Michiganders will continue to insist that perpetrators are held accountable in our state, and that we encourage everyone to contact their legislators, law enforcement, their local prosecutors, to let them know that legalizing or fully decriminalizing is just not acceptable. Wow. Rather, we want safe harbor for all victims, right? They are not criminals. They deserve freedom and services. And those who cause their harms, traffickers and buyers, they should be held accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of given a free pass to the people that are perpetrating this. Like, well, it's legal now. It's fine. But that doesn't mean they're still right. Not, again, like you mentioned, harming the victim spiritually, financially. I mean, just because it's legal doesn't mean that all the stuff going on behind closed doors is right in that sense.
Right.
Illegal, so, you know.
Yeah, the argument is that there could be protections put in place, but we just do not see that as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, victim, we have heard from so many survivors of sex trafficking that this is not going to help, but just harm.
Yeah.
And it actually will increase the amount of sex trafficking and that goes on in the community because now it's legal or buyers know that they can, you know, do it with, like you said, a free pass. So,
yeah.
And we have very minimal, penalties for sex buyers right now. And so we really need to increase not only penalties, but services and to just really address this problem, the issues behind the demand.
Yeah. It's so weird to me. It's like saying, oh yeah, crack's legal now, so it's fine. We might as well just go out and everyone have crack and all the corners.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's so much more to it. Good God. Well, we're so grateful that we have people like you and Heather and Emily and everyone with the Michigan Abolitionist Project and all the other, the Players Project and all these people that are in place in the government and working to combat this. And as we learn more and continue to try and fight human trafficking. Well, I guess we can kind of wrap it up with, is there any other resources, Heather, that you want to mention to the listeners to check out as we close out this conversation today?
Yep. So we'll link them on the podcast page, but I'll link that national legislation page, and then Kathy mentioned the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission website. They have some awesome resources. They just put out some like myth videos that are great, and you can download the reports. And would really highly encourage anyone listening who's from Michigan to check out the website. If you want to learn any more about legal frameworks and how we, as we kind of just hit the tip of the iceberg with legislation frameworks for, there are kind of four different frameworks for when we think about prostitution, legalizing, decriminalizing, partial decriminalization, and then criminalizing it. And we actually had a conference last May. We do an annual Empower conference, and it was a really very good conference. I learned a ton from it. But we talked all about those legislation frameworks, and had, attorneys on there. We had, six really powerful survivor leaders share their thoughts and experiences. And so we can link that also in the page. You can listen, you can sign up for receiving all of those videos from the conference. And that is just, man, it's like taking a course. but from just some experts, it was really, really great. So, would highly encourage anybody to listen to that if you're wanting to learn more about those legal frameworks. I don't know. Kathy, do you have any other?
No, that's good.
And again, everything here with all the past podcasts, just I'll put links on there and share all that Heather and Kathy have given to me and Emily put together. So just click on those, do some research on your own, do some exploring and find out more and continue to educate yourself. Well, as always, Heather, Kathy, thank you so much. I appreciate taking the time. I know it's not an easy conversation, like I always say, but it's a conversation we had to have. And I really do want to kind of hit home what has been mentioned a couple of times, Kathy and Heather both did, is reaching out to your representatives, people in charge on a local level, on a state level, on a national level. One voice might be heard, multiple voices will be heard. And so the more we talk about this, the more we get people behind this and get in their ears, the more that will be done. So just keep that in mind. Every little phone call, email, meet up at a coffee shop with a representative, it does it. It does wonders. All right. Well, good. Well, thanks again, everyone. And thanks for listening. We're going to have more with the Michigan Abolitionist Project. Again, find out more on them, map-mi.org, map-mi.org. And we will see you next time here on WIRX.